A long, long time ago, I can still remember how that music used to make me smile. And I knew if I had my chance that I could make those people dance, and maybe they'd be happy for a while. But February made me shiver with every paper I'd deliver. Bad news on the doorstep, I couldn't take one more step. I can't remember if I cried when I read about his widowed bride, but something touched me deep inside the day the music died. So bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, "This'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die." Did you write the book of love, and do you have faith in God above? If the Bible tells you so, do you believe in rock and roll? Can music save your mortal soul? And can you teach me how to dance real slow? Shoes. Man, I dig those rhythm and blues. I was a lonely teenage bronc and buck with a pink carnation and a pickup truck. But I knew I was out of luck the day the music died. I started singing bye bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Day that I die, this'll be the day that I die. Now for 10 years we've been on our own, and moss grows fat on a rolling stone, but that's not how it used to be. When the jester sang for the king and queen in a coat he borrowed from James Dean, and a voice that came from king was looking down, the jester stole his thorny crown, the courtroom was adjourned, no verdict was returned. And while Lennon read a book on Marx, the quartet practiced in the park, and we sang dirges in the dark. The day the music died, we were singing American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, and singing, "This'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die." Help the skelter in the summer swelter. The birds flew off with a fallout shelter, 8 miles high and falling fast. Jester on the sidelines in a cast. Now the halftime air was sweet perfume, while the sergeants played a marching tune. We all got up to dance, oh, but we never got the chance, 'cause the players tried to take the field, the marching band refused to yield. Do you recall the day the music died? We started singing bye bye, Miss American Pie. the day that I died. Oh, and there we were all in one place, a generation lost in space, with no time left to start again. So come on, Jack, be nimble, Jack, be quick. Jack Flash sat on a candlestick, 'cause fire is the devil's only friend. Oh, and as I watched him on the stage, my hands were clenched in fists of rage. No angel born in hell could break that Satan's spell. And as the flames climbed high into the night to light the sacrificial rite, I saw Satan laughing with delight. The day the music died, we were singing bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry, and good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this will be the day that I die, this will be the day that I die. I met a girl who sang the blues, and I asked her for some happy news, but she just smiled and turned away. I went down to the sacred store where I'd heard the music years before, but the man there said the music wouldn't play. And in the streets the children screamed, the lovers cried and the poets dreamed, but not a word was spoken. The church bells all were broken, and the three men I admire most, the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, they caught the last train for the coast the day the music died. And they were singing, bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. And them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die. This'll be the day that I die. They were singing, bye-bye, Miss American Pie. Drove my Chevy to the levee, but the levee was dry. Them good old boys were drinking whiskey and rye, singing, this'll be the day that I die.
Oh, welcome to the Situation Report for November 6th. Wow, what a night. I got to say, this is the first time in my life where I'm actually very, very glad to be wrong. I didn't think we'd get this far, let alone I didn't think Trump would win. About the only thing that went the way I figured it would go is Washington State and Arizona. So far, Gaia goes up over Kerry Lake. We'll see if they actually give her the win. But, you know, I saw some of the comments before the show, and yeah, I think there was a deal made, to be perfectly honest, because if you look at the amount of effort they put into the cheat and they put into illegal aliens trying to vote, you have to ask yourself the question, why didn't they just steal it? And you can make the case that there was an overwhelming turnout, and that they wanted to save face because they couldn't cheat and it would be too obvious. It's hard to know which that is, but you can make a case for both. And if the Trump team made a deal with somebody, here's the question you got to ask: who'd they make a deal with? What did they give up? And what are the American people going to have to suffer through because they made the deal? That's really the question of the day. And you know, I'm leaning towards the side that it was such a blowout that they couldn't obfuscate it. And so they decided to give him the win and go with another line of operation, like using the 14th Amendment or going after Trump and trying to put him in jail. Because remember, his sentencing's on the 26th. So they're literally going to try and put the president in jail. So this should be an interesting month. But I'll say this. Last night was a referendum, not on the presidency. It was a referendum on which way the American people wanted the country to go. And it was a referendum on the truth, because it was record number of people turned out to vote in almost every state. And you can't help but, and I'll just say this. I've been through two elections in Arizona, and I can tell you, I've never seen a turnout like I have over the last couple of weeks. Every polling station in this city was tipped over with people almost all the time from the time the polls open. And here we are, Arizona, still counting ballots. I mean, I was on Sean Newman's show last night for about an hour and a half, and I find it interesting that aren't the machines supposed to count faster? Isn't that what the machines are for? You're supposed to feed the ballot in and it counts your votes right there, tallies it up, so you don't have to do a hand count. Is that what the machines are for? But yet Arizona is going to take 14 to 16 days to count ballots. It shows the level of corruption across the entire country that's infected all of our election systems. And Washington State's especially true. I mean, Bob Ferguson was polling at maybe 10%, and he won over Dave Reichert. Come on, that's just not real. The guy's a shrub. He's been in office for 12 years. Everyone in the state is frustrated with his policies. And this guy legislated from the AG's office, and he's the governor now? Sorry, I'm not buying it. It's stuff like that that doesn't make sense. But yeah, and the other thing is, statistically, most people stay same party all the way down the ballot. So you're telling me that Trump won the state by 200 plus thousand votes. And maybe it was 20 or 30,000 votes. I can't remember off the top of my head. And Kerry Lake didn't win? Really? That's what you're going to try and sell us? Yeah. But the American people said overwhelmingly that, number one, we want to return to the rule of law. And by the way, that song was Don McLean, American Pie. I love that song. And I made you suffer through all 10 minutes of it. It's a 10-minute song. I was going to play a little NWA, A Bitch is a Bitch, but then I realized that, you know, Camilla's had enough humiliation for one day. Actually, no, she really hasn't. Anyway, the American public said three resounding things yesterday. We want a rule of law. We want transparency, and we want justice. We are not going to be communist. We're not interested in the woke ideology. We don't care about any of the wokeness or the DEI or any of the climate agenda. We want our country back. And it was said in overwhelming numbers. I watched the Fox report on The View today, and you know, they were choking it out when they were saying reading the script, choking it out. Joy Behar, American people have spoke. Uh-huh. They have. And you know what they said? We're done listening to you hens. And oh, by the way, when Trump gets in office, the American people are going to demand that you go to prison for sedition. Say it with me, Joy. Sedition. You're going to prison for sedition. You and Whoopi are going to be sitting there jackknifing each other every single day, wondering why you're in prison. Dummy shrubs. And then I was reminded this morning that I was wrong, and I need to be humble in the fact that I was wrong. You know, it's amazing to me how many people in this movement seem to think that we're all supposed to follow one person. So let me just remind everybody again where I'm at with this. I'm not doing this for a seat at the table with any group or any person or anybody in the Trump orbit. I don't care about politics. I don't plan on going into politics. If I'm asked to serve in the administration, I'll serve if it makes sense. If it doesn't make sense, I won't serve. But I'm not about to bend the knee to anybody but God. And I'm definitely not going to ingratiate myself to anybody that I don't trust and hasn't earned my trust. And that's as simple as it gets. And I call people out that couldn't show me the basic amount of professional courtesy. And that is exactly where I'm at right now. I'm not changing my story. I'm not going to apologize for being raw. I'm not going to apologize for making predictions or saying what I think. The whole team has been trying to give people the 411 on what the worst case scenario can be. And we've done that so people will get off their asses and prepare. Now, whether or not certain people in a certain group don't like that, tough shit. You can suck the farts out of my ass. I'm not about to apologize to somebody who's never taken the time to earn my trust or show me professional courtesy, any amount of apology or any amount of description or justification why I'm not doing what you think I should do. Get over yourselves. Okay, got that out of the way. So here's what I'm going to say, and I'm going to be fairly short today. So first of all, my apologies for being gone for the last 5-6 days. The team needed a break. I needed a break. And my kid got married, so I was off doing wedding stuff, mainly writing checks and spending money like a binging alcoholic, which is how weddings work. And during that time, I've decided to take some time away from doing the roundtable, unless there is a contingency that we need to talk through and break down, where the team's going to take a few weeks break. And I'm going to continue to sit reps probably twice a week as the situation demands. But look, I was never in this to do this. And I'm not in this for the notoriety. I'm not in this for anything other than to give people some kind of rudder to look at the information they're being fed. And just because Trump won the election or was given the election, whatever way you want to look at that, can't let your guard down. The censorship apparatus is still in place. I want to remind everybody that Elon Musk didn't dox anybody from the CIA or from the FBI or from DHS that was on the payroll at Twitter. And that whole process was done in a very public forum. So essentially the way I look at the situation is that until the censorship machine is dismantled and done transparently for the American people, I'm not going to trust anything that comes out of Elon's mouth. Because basically, if you look at the situation, what we've done is we've replaced one set of oligarchs with another set of oligarchs. And it was only done to maintain the status quo. Not done for the American people or the benefit of the rest of the world. It was done to benefit a very few for the very same purpose of maintaining the status quo. That is not a good reason to support somebody and tell them that they are the savior of free speech. You want to be the savior of free speech? Dismantle all of the algorithms on Twitter. Dismantle all of the censorship machine across the entire planet, to include Europe. And more importantly, Trump's first day in office, he needs to, number one, pardon everybody that was in prison for January 6th. Number two, he needs to fire Chris Wray. He needs to fire Merrick Garland and everybody around both of them, all the way down to the director level at each different agency, and then rescind every executive order that Biden has put in place. And then he needs to have Mike Johnson arrested for treason, along with Lindsey Graham and Chuck Schumer and what's that? Full stop, Mitch McConnell. And keep going. That's what you need to do day one, and especially Jamie Raskin. Openly talking about sedition online. And then they need to rescind number one, the 1988 or 89 legislation that grants immunity to the pharmaceuticals. That needs to be job one for the Congress. So we'll see how serious Trump is. And look, I'm telling you right now, the American people are not going to accept any backroom dope deals where you give up somebody else and Obama and the Clintons don't go to jail. No, they all go to prison. There's no backroom dope deals. You do this transparency. You do this transparent. You do it above board. You take people down to Gitmo. You try them for treason and you put them in prison for the rest of their lives. That's how this goes. The American people aren't going to accept anything less than that. And there's not going to be any mention of a plea deal, especially for guys like Tom Hanks, who's supposedly a raging pedophile. If that's true, that guy goes to prison forever. He is never matriculated back to society, period. The other thing that I want to say, and we'll see how serious Trump is about draining the swamp. His cabinet picks, his actions in the first week, the people they roll up, we'll see. That's going to be the tell if he's owned or not by somebody. The interesting thing last night was, look, I don't follow the elections normally. I just don't care because I think it's all BS anyway. I go cast my vote. I do my civic duty. And this time it was like, this is the last chance. Do the right thing or we're done. And people don't like hearing that. But at the end of the day, most Americans feel the same way. So it's good that I'm going to assume the elite hurt us. But I'm also going to assume that there was a deal that was made because that was way too easy last night. I mean, Sean Newman asked me. So first of all, he texted me in the early morning yesterday and said, hey, can you come on the show tonight? I said, absolutely. I don't know shit about the election process, you know, as far as how it's reported. But, you know, I figure we pull up the hill and we'll see what's out there. And, you know, I looked at CNN, I looked at MSDNC, I looked at all of them and their reporting. Their reporting, so it's so fictitious. It's such a joke how they were clearly trying to show that Harris was leading, even though she was getting blown out. Like everybody was completely surprised that Miami-Dade County went for Trump. Look, here's the short answer. Miami-Dade County is full of Cubans that came from Cuba, a communist country. They don't want to live in a communist country. It doesn't take a lot of math for them to go, yeah, this is bad. This is really bad. And it doesn't take a lot of, you know, a lot of math to figure out that they've watched their lifestyle and their ability to live eroded over the last 4 years. I mean, it's like when you go into the extreme left or right, right? You go into an extreme leftist community and they start talking about microaggression. That's microaggression. Or the Christians, we only affiliate ourselves with other Christians because everyone else is a heathen. Yeah, I want more of that. Give me more of that. It's not what the Cubans are thinking. They're thinking, I do not want to live under Castro ever again. And there's not a lot of math. Plus, Ron DeSantis, to his credit, spent a lot of time cleaning up Miami-Dade County and getting rid of all the election officials so that there was at least the semblance of transparency and free and fairness in the election. And I got to hand it to Florida because they counted 9 million ballots the same day. Arizona, what are you doing? My God. Just, hey, Adrian Fontes, here's your red stapler, douchebag. My God. Anyway, we need to get back to what we were doing before. Same day, voter ID, vote in person, your vote doesn't count. End of story. Verify your address. We can't verify your address. You know, it's a parking lot, a football field, a park. Sorry, You don't get to vote. We have the software. We have the ability to track where people live, and we have DMV records that we can tap into to be able to verify where everyone lives. And we can do it almost near real time. There's Arizona. And they have machines. Somebody explain that to me. Anyway, the point is that at some point, technology will catch up with this, and we have a lot of work to do. So moving forward, number one, don't let your guard down. Number two, to continue to prep the way you've been prepping. You can slow down on doing the emergency purchases, et cetera, et cetera. You can slow down on doing the big bulk purchases, but continue to use your gear. Continue to be prepared for something, because the enemy gets a vote. And at some point, the enemy will vote. And more importantly, this might be a pause. We might be in that pause moment or reprieve. Use that time right now to reset, to go through the last bit of gear, and just be prepared. Keep your eyes open. Don't assume anything. And most importantly, I want to throw a scenario at you, because it really does sit in the front of my mind. Actually, there's two or three scenarios that sit in the front of my mind. You know, Trump's not going to be around forever, and they're not going to stop trying to take out Trump. So I hope Trump has a lot of very, very good protection around him. But if Trump's taken out, we get J.D. Vance. I'm not exactly thrilled with that guy. And I don't like who's behind him. I don't like who supports him. I don't like where he came from. I don't like his belief system. There's a lot of things about him I don't like. So if they take out Trump, we get Vance. That to me is a perfect scenario for the left. It would explain why the left was so easily rolled over in this situation. The other reason is, they could be waiting for the court cases to come to fruition and try and put a president-elect in prison. Whatever the case is, they have something up their sleeve, and they are not going to stop now. They're not going to just roll over. So, you know, at the end of the day, be ready for anything. And, you know, enjoy the moment, because this I think this wasn't a surprise to a lot of people. But it was a surprise to me, because I watched what they were doing in Arizona for the last 4 years. I watched what Adrian Fontes did for the last 4 years, as well as Stephen Richard. And I can tell you that they have done everything they can to taint the voter rolls, to use the machines. The machines were programmatically set up to fail. The ballots were set up to fail. Runbecks got issues. I mean, it's a litany of issues. And you're telling me the Trump won and all of that? I just have a hard time believing that there's not a dope deal behind that. And that this is the thing that most people don't want to see any more of. We don't need any more of these backroom dope deals where hands are, you know, there's a handshake and then decisions are made for the rest of the country. People are tired of that. People are sick of this oligarch class that just changes the stage. The actors are still the same, but the stage is exactly the same. It's status quo. We got to get it. We have to move past this. So I'm quietly optimistic, but I also know that no plan survives first contact with the enemy. And first contact was last night. So we're about to see whether the enemy's serious or not. I'm actually kind of surprised nobody went off the reservation last night. And yes, I have spent my day watching liberals melt down, because God, that's entertaining. My God, that's entertaining. Some of the tantrums they throw, my God, thank you. Oh, it's fantastic. So Alex Jones posted a montage of liberal meltdowns. And If there is not a better video to show every stereotype of liberal retardation, that is it. But the troll of the day is the video where they pull the curtain on Prince Charles's portrait, you know, the satanic portrait they did of Chucky. And there's Trump dancing to YMCA. Oh, troll of the day. Fantastic. And of course, I did my level best to go after liberals today because, again, I have absolutely positively no empathy left whatsoever. In fact, you could say that the fucks I have left to give they're gone. And my fuck army they've been defeated. I don't have any fucks left to give. So I did a long post on Twitter. I'm going to read it for you because this pretty much sums up exactly how I feel for all of you liberals out there. This message is to all entitled and stupid liberals. You lost because you are a minority, not because of minorities. Americans are sick of your woke, child molesting, atheist BS. You're all stupid, all of you, without exception. The country is imploding and you're wrapped up in women's reproductive rights. All of you are blissfully unaware of the real issues facing our country, mainly because you eat whatever retarded bullshit is fed to you by the mainstream media. And most of them are too stupid to exist. You preach violence, hate, and anger. You add nothing to society that is lasting or meaningful. You know nothing of selfless service. The end justifies the means. Cheating, lying, and violence are all justified if your goals are met, regardless of the cost. None of you can pick a fucking hole. Men or women, sexual orientation is distorted. Your moral compass is so fucked up you can't find the parking lot, let alone a hole. No one cares about your sexual orientation, except leave the fucking children alone. That's just a few of the things that are generally pissing off the average American. Last night, the country showed up peacefully to say, sit the fuck down and shut the fuck up. You're entitled 15 minutes at the mic or up. And try not to do anything stupid on your way back to your parents' basement because we'll be watching. P.S. When the pink elephants show up tonight in your dreams, tell them you need a lift home. I couldn't resist. But I think it accurately represents how the rest of the country feels. They've had enough. And the key now is to make sure people don't go back to sleep and that people continue to participate in the process to restore the country, the process to restore the states, right? This has to start at the community level and the state level. Here in Arizona, we as a community, we as a state, need to go through the state apparatus and reform everything, all the way down to the voter rolls. And we need to replace everybody that's in power right now that was not legally elected. And I'm not afraid of Chris Mays. I'm not afraid of Adrian Fontes at this moment, because last night the American people showed up in force. That was not just voting. That was a military muster to say, as a united country, didn't matter what color, doesn't matter what creed, doesn't matter what background, Americans showed up last night to say, we are willing to fight for our country and our community. We are done. We're not doing this anymore. We're not going to put up with your shit anymore. And we're done with the malfeasance. And that is exactly what happened in Arizona. And you can see it today. I went out to get my dog some bones today, and four or five guys in the butcher shop. I'm telling you, these guys were all smiling, and I'm like, "Good day, huh? Great fucking day, great day." And my first question, now, what are you going to do to help reform the system here in Arizona? And one guy said, I'm not only going to be involved in the political process, I am going to go figure out how to replace somebody and run for office. I'm like, that is the right answer. It's exactly the right answer. Use that anger for something positive. That anger, and turn that into selfless service, where you go reform the system. That's what we have to do now. But I caution everybody, don't put your faith in a bunch of people in DC. Put your faith in your community and people you trust. And most importantly, don't let your guard down, because what's coming at us is going to be unpredictable if it does happen. And look, everything might turn out fine. Everything might be peaceful all the way through. And there may have been a deal in the background where these people were given a choice. You capitulate or you die. I don't know what the deal was, but you could definitely sense there's a changing of the guard. You could feel it in the air right now. And I said a few weeks back, you can sense there's a change. There was a shift in the narrative from everybody in the establishment. They went from black swan event to we're going to get Trump after the election and Trump's going to win. And you can sense that the winds were taken out of their sails. So I don't know what the change was or what the shift was. And to be honest with you, I really don't care. I do, however, want the American people to know what was really going on in the background at some point. And most importantly, I want to see people brought to justice now. I want to see people perp walked. I want to see people cuffed. I want to see people on trial. And I want to see people in jail. And this, let me answer this question, because a lot of people messaged me about, we need to publicly hang people. No, we don't. Well, yes, we do. But what we need to see is people in prison. We need to strip these people of their power, of their influence, and most importantly, of their money. The money they've grifted from the American people needs to be repatriated and given back to the American people. And they need to be sitting in jail with no powers and completely helpless for the rest of their miserable lives. And I don't care what level, what status, I don't care. If you're a former president and you committed treason, you go to prison. You don't get to pass go. You don't get to make a plea deal. You're done. And at the same time, all that's going on, we end the UN, we end the Fed, we end the WHO, we end the WEF, and we end NATO. And we get rid of all of those relationships, including Israel, where we spend American tax dollars to fund their operations. Sorry, those days are over. Overseas aid, zero. And that's how this has to go. So we'll see, you know. And the other thing too is, it's not just the people in power that need to go to prison. It's everybody in their orbit that was complicit, right? Complicity, that's always, if you were complicit in a crime, you go to jail too. That includes spouses, kids, cousins, brothers, whole nine yards. If the entire family ecosystem is involved in criminality, the entire family's going to Gitmo. That should be entertaining. Wow. That should be reality TV. Throw them all into Gitmo and watch them get along. Oh, yeah, that'll be fun. But you get the point. That's where the Americans are right now. And I don't see a point now where they're going to accept anything less. And I've seen a couple of different variations of, scenarios, I'll put it, from a lot of different people. I'm not making any predictions. I can just tell you that when I woke up this morning and I saw my phone was blowing up this morning when I woke up, because I went to bed at like 10, 10:30, I'm like, this isn't going to be solved tonight. And I'm not staying up for this. I'm glad I did. As I woke up and Trump was declared the winner and everybody was ecstatic, I didn't feel like I was mission complete. In fact, I felt like this morning that now of all times is the most dangerous time in this process, and that we need to be hyper vigilant. We need to keep our eyes open and we need to watch for the curveball. Not saying there's going to be another shooter drop. I'm just saying be vigilant. And, you know, the thing to keep in mind is just because Trump was given a reprieve, country was given a reprieve, doesn't mean it's going to last forever. We still got millions of illegals in this country that we have to deal with. And I don't see deportation going very well, even though it needs to happen. So, same applies. Be diligent, be alert, pay attention to your surroundings, know who's supposed to be there, know who's not supposed to be there, and enjoy the win. I'll be back on Friday. Actually, I'll be back probably Friday or Saturday. I haven't decided yet which one. And then next week, I'll be back Monday and probably Wednesday. We'll see how things develop. But stay frosty, everybody. Going to be a bumpy couple of months, I'm telling you. Getting to January 6th might be harder than getting to November. So pay attention. And remember, this is something I had to remind the team of. We're all on the same team. And I'm surrounded by alphas. And alphas fight. Just it's in our nature. And, you know, I had to remind a couple of guys on the team that, number one, you need to be adults and get along. And you need to figure it out. Even if that means you go out behind the woodshed and knock each other senseless, go do that. But sort it out and don't bring it to the rest of the group. I'm giving everybody else the same advice. And the advice is this. Remember, you saw last night that the entire country showed up. And the bulk of the country wants the same thing. They want restoration of the republic. That's reason to celebrate. But it's also reason to realize that there's a lot of allies out there, and we are way stronger than we believe, especially united. If we're united, there's no possibility they can win, no matter how bad things may get or how much they try. And that's what people saw last night, that united and across this race, color, creed, social status, crosses all those boundaries. You saw, I guess the best way to say it is you saw the country united last night. And the left hates it because for the first time in almost 20 years, the left finally figured out that they're in the minority. And that scares them to death because they know now, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the sleeping giant is awake and paying attention. But most importantly, pissed off. So keep that in mind. And you got to get right with God. You know, somebody asked me about abortion. So let me just ask a question back. Don't we all stand in front of God and atone for our sins? Don't we do that? Some people are going to have more to atone for than others. And that's how I look at it. Everybody makes personal risk-based decisions. I don't need the state or anybody else to tell me what that is. And I feel the same way about the whole debate. In fact, I think the debate has been so bastardized into this metamorphosis of stupid that nobody can make risk-based decisions. And look, I realize there's people on both sides of the fence. But you ask any combat vet, especially a combat vet that's killed people, you think they're going to go and atone for their sins? Absolutely they are. You think they're going to buy for it? No. None of us do. The whole basis of us being here is choice, freedom of choice, the freedom to make the choices that we do. That's the whole nut for the whole game. Come down here, you make good choices, you go up there, you come back, you do it again. And if you have to do remedial training, you come back and you do it all over again. At least that's how I see it. So can we put that to bed and just stop talking about it? Because it's not going to help rebuild the country. I get that everybody's got strong emotions about it, but that's not the fight. The fight is rebuilding our government, rebuilding our society with a moral compass, a value system, and focused on something bigger than ourselves, selfless service. I mean, if you really read through the Bible, what do you see? Treat people like you want to be treated and do unto others. We should all be focused on selfless service. That's who we are as a country. It's been lost. It's been bred out of us. We need to get back to that. And look, you're still going to see disinformation, misinformation. That apparatus has not been dismantled. The bots are still live and active on Twitter and, God forbid, all over the rest of social media that's completely censoring still. So you still have to be wary of what you're seeing. You still have to question what you're seeing. You still have to use discernment. And until we get real positive proof that the censorship apparatus has been turned off, you should act like it never has been. Nothing's changed. Everything's the same. And lastly, but not least, you have to think about what you want our country to look like on the other side. Now's the time to start doing that. And if you haven't prayed, pray. Because Trump's going to need all the help he gets. They're not done going after him. They're going to go after him again. I hope he has a lot of security, and he should. All right, I'll be back this weekend, and I'll be back on Monday. And I'll let you know about the scheduling and how that's going to look. Next week, I think I'm going to do a coffee and a mic with Tom Luongo and Alex Craner again. And then Sean Newman was saying something about doing another show. So I'll let you know. But I'm going to try and limit my appearances and focus on my family for the next couple of months since we have a reprieve. The sun comes up. We'll be back with the roundtable. God bless everyone. One team, one fight.